This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. We've all heard the myth of King Midas, the ancient king who was cursed with the golden touch. There are different versions of the myth, but in one, the ironic twist is that he starves to death because every morsel of food that he tries to eat is transmuted into inedible gold. The moral of the story, what is the value of gold really? But gold is the gold standard when it comes to wealth. However, recently, after years of climbing in value, gold has taken quite a drop. It was the biggest drop in 30 years. But we've all been here before. We've seen gold rise and fall. But have recent events shaken your faith in gold? Do you think now is the time to buy? Why do you think the gold market is shaking up? We invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call at 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour is Frank Holmes. He's the CEO of U.S. Global Investors. He's also the author of Gold, The Gold Watcher, and Nathan Lewis, author of The Once and Future Currency. Welcome to The Source.
It's great to be here.
So let me ask you, Mr. Holmes, when you see this drop in gold, what did you think?
Well, I think that there's two demand drivers that impact the price of gold, and investors should be cognizant of is the fear trade, which we predominantly hear in America. And the other half of the demand for gold is the love trade. And the love trade is dramatically and significantly influenced by the GDP activity that's taking place in Asia because of the cultural affinity towards gold for all forms of gift giving. From the Middle East to India to Indonesia, Vietnam, China. What we have seen in this past quarter is a modest slowdown in China as GDP per capita, the income, and the same thing with India, which put a 6% tax on gold jewelry. That impacted the demand. So I thought a modest correction was in tune with that. However, what's taken place this past couple of weeks is really, really sort of looks uneasy. There's something wrong. There's something in the marketplace that's unsettling. And I think the free markets are the most interesting because gold demand for coins has exploded.
You can't find gold coins right now. It's just an insatiable market right now.
And you also saw with that out of China and India, this drop in gold, all of a sudden, huge demand. There's pictures and photographs on the internet of demand through Bangkok to India, of people coming in to buy gold jewelry at these price levels. What we've seen, I was just yesterday in Toronto, is that the banks had long lineups to buy small gold coins, and the 1/10 of an ounce are gone, half ounce are gone. You had to buy 5-ounce wafers as a minimum. So what investors have been buying are silver coins, and now the silver coins are gone, and they're buying 5-ounce silver wafers.
So Nathan Lewis, author of The Once and Future Currency, do you see the shakeup in gold price? Is this an emotional hiccup, or is there a problem with fundamentals?
The fundamentals for gold are extraordinarily bullish, in my opinion, certainly at these prices. Throughout history, and I mean all the way back to pre-Greek era, gold has always served a certain purpose in society, and that is to serve as basically a stable measure of value. That's why some people say gold is money. And it has always done so, and has never failed to do so, even as empires disappear and wars happen. It is the one thing that is fairly reliable about gold. And with that in mind, we're now in a situation where apparently central banks around the world are printing roughly $160 billion equivalent of value of money off a printing press per month, including $85 billion in the United States with the Fed printing U.S. dollars. The history of fiat paper currencies basically going to zero or very nearly so when this happens is also extremely reliable. So I would say that the longer-term prospects for gold as an investment are very sound, and the long-term prospects for gold as inherent characteristics of basically serving as a stable measure of value throughout any kind of turmoil are also very sound.
So gold as an investment, but gold doesn't pay dividends. It just stays there, and and I guess you just cross your fingers and hope that it will continue to grow in value, weighed against the currency.
The characteristic which pretty much all serious gold bullion investors embrace to one form or another using different kinds of language, is that gold is basically what we say, you know, gold is money. It doesn't mean that you take a coin and go buy groceries with it. What it means is that it has the characteristics that we want of cash, which is that it is the same value at the end of a period as it is at the beginning. You know, $20 bills don't have a pay dividends either. So basically what we want is a $20 bill, like the old $20 gold coin, which we in the United States used to use, which the Fed can't devalue.
I just to add to that, I think it's important for when you look at gold as money is that what we're experiencing today, the 70s and the 30s, are negative real interest rates. So whenever a government is paying you a coupon on your treasury bills or your bonds, which is less than the inflationary rate, gold rises in that country's currency. And for the past 10 years, we are living with negative real interest rates in America. In fact, most of the world 2-3 years ago were negative interest rates.
And we've got the forecast of that continuing.
To continue. So I think that that's an important factor in the consideration is gold not paying interest. Well, take a look what you're making a 5-year government note today. You're losing 125 basis points every year. I mean, it's just ridiculous. 10-year money is less than the S&P. I think 54% of the S&P stocks are paying dividends higher than a 10-year government note. So owning good quality companies and owning gold, and we've always advocated using regressional math to demonstrate this, having a 5% exposure to bullion in a portfolio and rebalancing each year is prudent, just like you have car insurance. Because you've not had a car accident for 10 years, you don't cancel your insurance.
But that's a shelter for wealth, but not an investment, right?
Well, part of all investments is offense, defense. And part of that is to make sure that your portfolio can deal with these downdrafts and any type of currency swings that gold will protect you.
So I would
agree with the characteristic with the comment that gold is not an investment. It really functions, in my opinion, much like taking a bunch of $20 bills and sticking it in a coffee can. You're not trying to make money from it. You're trying to avoid losing money. And where gold becomes particularly interesting as opposed to $20 bills is where central banks are more or less taking policies which result in chronic currency decline.
But we are talking, you know, the big hushed phrase that we heard during the drop in gold on the 15th was, are we going to get into a deflationary mode here? So that would make, you know, you would want to have those $20 bills.
Well, you want to eventually spend them at some point. And I would suggest that now is a good time. You know, there's a notion that the price that we look at is a gold market. It's not actually a gold market. It's a market in gold-related derivatives. Which are, you know, which have been diverging more and more from actual trade in metal, which Frank has described. Basically, there's enormous demand and very little supply, basically no supply,
right,
at
well,
these prices for
okay.
metal.
All right, we'll get into that.
Which means
we got to go
to clearing.
All right, Nathan Lewis, we'll get back to that in just a second. We're talking about what's happening with the gold market. We invite you to call us and let you know, tell us what you think about the market. 614-8980, you're on The Source with KSTX, Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about gold. Our guest this half hour, Frank Holmes, the CEO of U.S. Global Investors, and Nathan Lewis, the author of The Once and Future Currency. If you want to call us and tell us what you think, what's happening with gold, the number is 614-8980. And I want to say, you know, there's a gold. Not all gold is created equal, apparently. Some investments in gold are better than others. Is that right, Mr. Holmes?
Well, there's a different volatility of gold stocks versus gold. And for most of this past 10 years, gold stocks have been outperforming. In the past couple of years, gold stocks have underperformed bullion.
And so, but we've heard warnings from about where to buy your gold from. There's some smart things to do. Mr. Lewis, tell us about, I mean, what's a good place to buy your gold that you know you're getting, you know, a good solid deal?
Well, I'll be very sensitive to price. You know, gold is pretty much the same everywhere. It's an element on the periodic table, so don't pay too much for it.
But there are like some late night TV type ads where they tell you to buy gold from them, and it's a special coin, and they kind of mark up the price, and it's not exactly the best place to buy your gold, I would imagine.
Exactly. I would suggest looking first, for anyone who's interested, looking first at certain sort of well-established, large dealers who deal with the retail level and, in large volume. APMEX, or the American Precious Metals Exchange, is a good example of that.
And also, I'd say Kitco, which is the biggest portal for information. It was created for selling their gold, platinum, silver, wafers, and coins.
Exactly. So you could see how much a gold product like a coin or a wafer cost compared to the sort of official spot price. Some dealers will also post buy prices as well, so you can both buy and sell with the same dealer. Once you decide to sell your gold and buy something else, you can find out how much you can get for it. It's quite a bit better than these cash for gold shops on the corner, by the way.
So, Mr. Holmes, CEO of U.S. Global Investors, you guys have been singled out and highlighted for education on your website and making sure that consumers know what's going on. Tell me about that.
Well, we have the sites at usfunds.com, and every week our investment team publishes what were the strengths and weaknesses that impacted the gold market for the gold funds. It's always succinct, like Game Film Analytics is 12 sentences in whole, three for strengths, three for weakness. And then we look at next week and look at economic data that's coming out that could impact an opportunity threat to the gold world. With that, plus Frank Talk, which we have embedded with all of that, we got about 40,000 people in 70 countries that subscribe to the Investor Alert.
All right, now let's go to our phones. And Jim is on the line. He wants to join the conversation. Welcome to The Source, Jim. Jim, you there? Okay, and apparently he stepped away from the phone. Let's go to let's move on to Tom. Tom's on The Source. Welcome, and you have a comment?
Paul, I have two questions. One is, what is the premium additional value to a struck coin of precious metal, gold or silver, versus the same weight of metal in a wafer or an ingot? And then the second question is, if you have, say, a complete set of platinum, gold, and silver coins, such as an Aussie, where do you go to sell that at any, in this area, for instance? Those are my two questions. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Tom. All right. So where do you go?
Nathan, do you do much in, like, we don't trade in the gold coins, the premiums do fluctuate with demand.
In general, you can get both coins and small wafers, one or 5 ounces, something like that. Generally sell for, I would say, roughly 2% over the spot price. So if the spot price is $1,600, then you add 2%, that's $32. $1,632 is about what you pay, maybe with free shipping thrown in. Some coins get a little more than that, maybe 3%. These are kind of generic bullion coins. Their value is entirely inherent in the gold in the coin. Once you get into sets and proof series and collectibles, that is just like baseball cards. And you go to the specialists in that field.
And the premiums recently, just to give you an idea, they did spike for gold coins. I was speaking to a couple of dealers, and they were seeing this limited supply and demand was so big, getting 8% premiums.
Wow.
Exactly, which is significant, which tells you that there's not very much available for sale.
And I was with Eric Sprott yesterday, and basically he was articulating that this is free markets, and the free markets are telling you exactly what the supply and demand is. It's not manipulated in the derivative gold market.
Yeah, but the free markets can be driven through by panic and fear and greed, and so it can be as volatile as anything else.
Yes, but they're not manipulated. It's like a sporting event.
Okay.
There's less referees in the field than there's referees on the field.
All right, well, let's keep going to the phones. Jim is back, and welcome again to The Source, Jim.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I would just like to ask your guests. I was alive when the bottom fell out of the gold market the last time, And I was just wondering if something in place now that would keep it from happening.
You mean like in the 80s? Is that the time you're talking about?
80s, yes. And, the,
and so you're wondering about...
something that's different system that would prevent that from happening.
Well, I mentioned earlier that what's important is to look at real interest rates in that country's currency. And in the 70s, you had inflation running, and what you're making on your treasury bills and bonds was lagging dramatically, that you were losing money having government notes. And the lack of convertibility of gold was closed in 71, so all of a sudden gold started to trade at a greater valuation because the government was paying you less. In the 80s, when Volcker came in, basically he spiked interest rates 6%, 8% above the inflationary rate, and he dropped it down, the inflation. But at the same time, on a regular basis, he was paying, the government was paying a coupon higher than the CPI number. Throughout the 90s under President Clinton, you averaged more than 2% above the CPI number. The issue has changed for the past 10 years, both under Obama and Bush, is that the government has been paying you less the inflationary rate. So whenever that takes place in history or any country's currency, gold starts to rise that country's currency.
I would agree entirely with Frank on that. What happened in basically the year 1980 was you got a new Fed chairman, Paul Volcker, who took a radically different strategy and what, you know, what Frank calls real interest rates went from deeply negative to dramatically positive, 5-6% positive. And that's what ended the gold bull market of the 1970s. So if the official CPI today is 2.5% and you add 5% to that, you're talking about 7.5% official Fed's fund rate policy. And now I think it's pretty clear that we're nowhere near that.
So let me ask you, Nathan, who is buying gold right now? Is it just the average guy, or are these wealthy investors?
Pretty much everybody, from the Indian peasant buying some jewelry, which is basically a form of investing for them, to central banks who have orders of tens of billions of dollars or that they want to buy gold with.
And we're seeing an increase in central bankers for the first time. You know, these past 4 years, they've been increasing, whereas for 30 years, they were declining. You're seeing Mexico, just south of here, increase and been buying, their central bank have been buying gold as a foreign reserve. And you're seeing, what we're witnessing is many emerging countries just do not want to own euros, so they just don't want to own dollars. They want to own, as part of the reserves, gold. What's interesting is that Russia has been, since 2005, has been consuming all their gold production. And for the past 3 years, China is now the largest gold-producing nation in the world. They consume every ounce they produce as the largest producer of the world, and they're the biggest buyers in the world.
So how is this price of gold impacting the economy in a way for a guy like me who doesn't have any gold?
It doesn't really affect in the way that the price of copper or the price of oil or something like that does. It's really the other way around. It shows the state of the dollar, and the state of the dollar, of course, affects everything. You know, why was gold $35 in 1970 and $350 in the 80s through the whole decade? It wasn't because gold became 10 times more valuable. It's because the dollar became 10 times less valuable.
But right now we're seeing, although there's this quantitative easing that we're seeing from the Fed, how is that what's impacting the price of gold right now and the flight to want to have it?
I would absolutely agree that it influences the flight to want to have it. That's why I own, for my investors, quite a lot of gold bullion right now. I think it's a very unfriendly time for bonds, currencies, and also stocks for the longer term, the multi-year term. And I don't mean super long term, but, you know, 2 to 5 year term. Very unfriendly environment. Due to Fed central bank policy around the world, very gold-friendly environment, and act accordingly.
But when consumers are buying gold rather than putting money, say, into stocks, when you're investing in stocks, you are creating capital that will create jobs. but putting money into gold doesn't really do that, right?
Well, that's not true.
Okay, tell me why.
Because you buy gold, and then all of a sudden there's no supply. The prices go up, and then people explore for it. And Caterpillar right here, Peter Holt, has to sell more Caterpillars.
Right, but when I'm buying stocks and I'm
Do you know
investing-
the CapEx? Do you know how correlated mining is to drive jobs? The multiplying effect is 15 to 1 compared to a government creating jobs, which is 4 to 1. It's massive. We see this with energy. So anything that has to do with resources of extracting an ounce of gold or building a pipeline has this exponential multiplier effect for capital.
Right, but that's
Buying gold doesn't mean the money like goes up in flames. Every time you buy gold, just the same for the stock market, someone else is selling it and they receive the money. So it's not like, you know, if you buy some gold and that money is lost forever for the economy. It doesn't really work that way.
So what about the problem that a lot of people have? They've lost faith in the stock market and lost faith in these people who run mutual funds and active traders, and so that makes gold more attractive to them.
Well, as an investor, I would say faith is the worst investment strategy imaginable. So I'd say that maybe those people are growing up a little bit.
And Mr. Holmes?
Well, I think that faith is highly correlated to volatility, and people should be able to manage their expectations. All asset classes are volatile, but in fact, gold is less volatile than the S&P 500. Which is a real shocker if you turn around and do any type of regressional analysis for the past 20 years, 10 years.
Right, so it wasn't like the return on gold for last year, like 7.5%? I mean, you know, if I had bought in gold at the beginning of the year and I would have made... You know.
Not in this past 12 months, but okay. At the end of the year, December, you were up. But
okay, out of time. Great conversation. Thank you both. Frank Holmes, CEO of U.S. Global Investors. Nathan Lewis, author of Once and Future Currency. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back.